see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mothers cry cause the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that'll wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to Watching for Jesus Bible Study for tonight. My name is Thomas Gamble, if you're the first ones joining us tonight, and welcome. You know, tonight will be part two. I've decided that part two tonight will be how to detect and figure out or judge our leaders, our false teachers, and the teaching of our leaders. False teachers. That seems to be going around quite frequently. As a matter of fact, it's the rule, not the exception. This is the rule. You would think it'd be the other way around, but it's not. It is the rule that you have false teachers. Now, last night, I gave you actual bits and pieces of their scripture readings and their doctrine. Joyce Myers, Copeland, Billy Graham, rest of them. I mean, everybody we've held in trust are going against us. And by their own words. I mean, it's not just me talking about it. It's or trying to say, well, we got to get away from it. No, it's actually, you know, by their own words. And where are they headed? They're headed toward the New Age movement. That there's many different ways of getting to God. Like Oprah said, she's one of the worst. She works up a relationship with Osteen. I mean, a whole lot of them. And they're going toward the New Age. They're all one in Christ, no matter what religion that you're in. It's not about religion in the first place. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ, which is not religion. When someone says, I'm spiritual but not religious, it's like, what does that mean? Really? like doing yoga, breathing exercises, humming, countdowns, astral travel. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, I'm neither religious nor spiritual. Whatever that means, I follow Jesus Christ and his commandments the best way I can. If I fall short, I repent of them. I said, Lord, forgive me for that lust. Forgive me for that thought. Because it's in the Bible. Tom, you should live your life. You should not be held back. No, it's not me being held back. Because we're in bondage, they've got it reversed. On this earth, those that follow the world are in bondage to the world. And in the world, what does it do? One word destroys evolution. Just one word. They go into hours and hours and hours of debate about evolution versus creation and all that and all this. And what's that got to do with it? Well, what's got to do with it is we either were created from a primordial soup or something another, or whatever, or aliens came down here and seeded a planet. Oh, golly. You know, something like that. Where'd they come from? Nobody ever asked that question. Where did the aliens come from? He had so-called aliens, whatever. Where'd they come from? Self-created? And nobody ever goes that far. Anyway, so evolution. Then they got it really watered down. Well, God used evolution. Well, no, he didn't use evolution. He says he created. 7 days. We think God's going to wait millions of years for the first day to go by and millions of years for the second day to go by. And God don't mess around. When he creates, he speaks. It happens. The Bible's clear on that. He speaks it, it takes place. Right then, right there, it happens. He doesn't speak it, and then, you know, 1,000 years later it happens. What? So you either believe in evolution, that we were created by aliens and evolutionized by them, or you believe that we were, oops, evolution, well, wait a minute. From a monkey? Where'd the monkey come from? A tadpole? And where'd the tadpole come from? Amoeba? Where'd it come from? Just all of a sudden, this gets ridiculous. Well, they used to say it was apes. Monkeys. Then they changed and went to a worm in Canada. We even call about a zebra. I'm not talking tabloid. I'm talking about doctors and biologists that come to the conclusion that this is like last year, like, I don't know, in the fall, I've got an article. These Swedish or Norwegian or whatever doctors or something said, oh, we come from a worm in Canada. Whew. Then it came down to a bacterium. My grandmother, great, 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 great time, 10,000. Grandmother was a bacterium. Oh, okay. Okay, I got it. Meteorite comes crashing down. Pshoom. There it goes. And somehow lightning strikes and life is formed and an amoeba turns into a fish, and a fish turns into a monkey, and a monkey turns into a human. I got it. And the fish turns into a bird, and the bird turns into a somethingsaurus or something. I don't know what. One word. All right, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast a minute. But one word destroys all this jibber-jabber about evolution. One word destroys it. Entropy. That debate is over. Everything in this world, everything, dies, rusts, rots, consumed, or whatever. But it's never around enough. It doesn't last. It doesn't go forward. It goes backwards. Everything goes backwards. So man's got to create or some like mechanical something another, upgrade it. Change it in some way. Man can never create. He just can manipulate God's creation. That's taught by Satan. You ever heard of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Man, there you go. They think they're creating, but they're not at all. It dies, rusts, rots, consumed. Well, how about mutations? Mutation. A mutation means something is missing. It was messed with. It mutated. It doesn't live long. So how could evolution be possible with the word entropy? Everything winds down. It doesn't wind up. So if they can't figure it out, they just invent some big word and give it a name and say, make something up about it, and there you go. And everybody's satisfied. Why? They don't want to face the Creator. They don't want to face being judged. They don't want to face the possibility that hell actually exists. Any questions? That's really the bottom line. Because once they got a remnant, and you start showing that evolution is not possible, their minds can't help it. Their minds head toward, oh gosh, I got to get away from that thought that there's really a God. Einstein had a problem with that. He used to be an atheist until he started working, wherever he got his theories. He started realizing, wow, this couldn't just happen by chance, so there must be a God. He called it a superior reasoning power. He could never accept God of the Bible, because his logic was, if this God of the Bible is real, then he created man in his own image. In essence, this God of the Bible is then judging himself through man's activities, man's results. So I don't believe that, he says. So he remained an agnostic, believed in a supernatural or a superior reasoning force or power, but never God of the Bible. And to get around, and here's how the pseudo-Christians and theologians get around it, that God used evolution. Number two, intelligent design. But they don't tell who the intelligence was, because the ones at the highest level knows that the fallen angels are coming down as aliens or ascended masters, and they're going to say, we created you. Now we're going to help you ascend to a divine nature that you really are. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. You see, so we're getting ready to hit the nexus, no pun intended, of mankind's next evolutionary leap in the age of Aquarius. Oh, how'd that sound? Oh, that was hot, wasn't it? No, I haven't been attending their stupid courses. I've just been doing a lot of research on their heresy and their nonsense. But that's what they're going to say. And when that disclosure happens, Sananda, Manuel, Maitreya, all these guys come popping up. We created you. Family, that is the falling away. Right now, they are preparing the falling away. And there's, let's go back to exposing false teachers. There's many different ways of getting to Christ. Well, no, there's not. Like Billy Graham said, between 1949 and 1980s, there's only one way, that's through Jesus Christ. But then he started changing and came out the real Billy Graham, funded by the Rockefellers, that you don't have to know the name of Jesus, but as long as you know Christ. Did y'all catch that yesterday? As long as you know Christ, but you don't have to know the name of Jesus? That was so sneaky. You see, Christ is only the name of a generic name for Messiah. So you got to know some Messiah. You getting it here? But you don't have to know the name of Jesus. Well, I'm sorry, Billy Graham. You got to know the name of Jesus, like you were saying back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, 70s. Why'd you change the tune? Getting old has nothing to do with it. Getting old, Billy Graham, getting old, you got nothing to do with the scripture or this message that there is a burning hell. That you've got to repent of your sins. That there's a small road, a small narrow path, unlike what Robert Schuller and all the rest. I'll name names. Family, because you got to know where this is good. Joyce Myers, all these, they're all T.D. Jakes, Brazier, all of TBN, 700 Club, Freemasons, Eastern Stars. Man, get out of there. And they are good, too. They are good with talking. But the scriptures, the interpretation they have is it's not even in the Bible. It's made up. Copeland said one time that, I heard him say, I watched him, his mouth moving. His words came out. I watched him. He said that Adam was given dominion over the birds. That means that he said that Adam could fly like Superman. And still people sit there. Whew, wow. Let's dedicate the broadcast and let's talk about exposing false teachers. And that, you know, and includes us if we get off on a tangent that we think we know it all. Well, you got another thing coming. You got to let the Holy Spirit lead you. Holy Spirit to lead you. That means you're fasting and praying and humbleness and trusting in God to give you the truth. Well, read the Bible, man. I can't understand the these and thous. I can't understand it. That's okay. Just read it. Be faithful. Read it. And God will start giving you the answers through the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you tonight, Father, for this night that we can have Bible study, Father. Lord, thank you for having put this together, that we are able to do a Bible study nationwide, Lord, that we have the ability to conduct that Bible study. We can share through the internet, through other ways, Facebook, and other ways that we can share our knowledge, answer questions, and Father, that we go about our own business, our own lives, and Lord, that you'll guide us no matter where we are to help others, help ourselves to understand that, Father, the Holy Spirit there to give us that knowledge. Father, we pray for our families, those that separate and apart, that, Father, somehow that through divine appointments, that they'll be brought back. When things start changing, Lord, that you got their attention, that they'll come back to the source and, Father, be able to be brought in and accept Jesus as Savior. But, Father, we see those tribulations approaching. We pray for our veterans, Lord, protect them from these drugs, these vaccines, the voices in their heads that's being caused by the technology. Father, we pray for it almost every day. Only through supernatural power, Lord, can they be informed and be protected through divine appointments to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, we pray for children, as we do every day. Father, to let some escape from these kidnappings that's being taken for being conducted for these witchcraft ceremonies, Satanist. Father, protect these families. Father, to give comfort to those families and bring and exalt the name of God in disasters ready to happen, that happen in the future, Lord, that you'll use these disasters, these situations coming to your glory and be used to bring others to you through your Son, Jesus. Father, forgive us of our sins. We lay them before you. And Father, you'll guide us the right path in that day, right before the day of the Lord. That, Lord, you'll see us, you'll show us the deceptions that we can see through. These deceptions of the end times. And then, Father, become watchmen for those that don't know. And all these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I see this kind of a side note. Y'all keep your eyes and ears open. And this MS-13 is controlled by CIA, Mossad, and all these others. They're perfectly controlled and trained down in South America. And they're virtually 47, 46, I don't know, states in the Union. They'll be used to usher in, looks like, the martial law. Family, get close to God. Very close. When these things start taking place. And have faith and have courage. And this is where it really counts. When it really, really starts taking a toll. When you really start seeing it. Of all these things we've been talking about. And then one time it really happens. Don't be shocked. Just be ready. Because this nation is going to experience judgment it's never seen before. Because of turning away from God from the day we started. Individuals, especially before the 20th century, individuals that, and certain pastors back in the old days, when they was pushing the truth, kept things afloat. The laws reflected the biblical concepts and commandments and so forth. But now you see a difference. They're changing the laws of the land to a natural law. Humanists. They're allowing now humanists to oversee marriages. Slowly but surely. And when everything's in place, like a domino's fall, in 24-hour period, it's gone. You wake up one morning, man, you're in it, and ain't no stopping it. Chaos. Order out of chaos. It's going to be tricky, too. That's why you got to know your scriptures and get in tune with the Holy Spirit. It's been delayed many times. It could delay now. It's up to God when He allows this to take place. But in the meantime, you need to search out the Word. As Christians, we're commanded against following teachers blindly, but are told rather to test everything. Hold on to the good. It's not judging, and that's that fallback position for their, for the ones that work for them. They say, oh, you're judging. You're studying yourself approved is what you're doing. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Now, what is it about that people don't understand? The Apostle Peter. How can people call themselves apostle today? I'm Apostle Tom Gamble of the Watchmen for Jesus program. I got coffee cups to sell you. So how can I call myself apostle? I never met Jesus. A real apostle met Jesus. Well, you say, well, Paul wasn't part of him. Well, Paul met him supernaturally on the road to Damascus. Yes, he was. And yes, he did. And in the Bible, you've got 12 books written by Paul. And only one other one is controversially Paul's also, making it 13 books. Hebrews, and that's debatable. But when the theologians, they discussed the book of Hebrews, and from the writings of Hebrews in the translated language, it appears to be Paul's. But they're not 100% sure. But he's got 12, certainly. And high potential of 13 books in the Bible. Now, I'd say that's pretty important for God to make sure that Paul, and even Paul went to see Peter to straighten him out, because Peter started getting a little bit rambunctious, even after Jesus ascended. Peter was always like that, though. But Paul straightened him out. The Apostle Peter, 2 Peter 2, 1 to 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there were false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord, that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Oh boy. As many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. I don't think they understand in these pulpits. They're playing with something more than fire. They think by doing good deeds and so forth that they're going to get by with this sneaky stuff, but that ain't going to happen. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved until judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. God's not messing around. When people, and I've, and I've, you know, people, I know a couple of people that are comedians or something. And they say, well, Tom, these are clean God, jokes about God. I said, man, there is no such thing. I said, there is no jokes about God. I said, don't be mocking. Tom, you lost your sense of humor. I said, about God? You darn right I have. I've lost it. It's gone. It's kaput. It ain't existing anymore. I said, there is no joke about God. Nothing. I mean, nothing funny. Ah, come on, man. God's got a sense of humor. Really? I said, well, let's say you got a daughter and she died accidentally. Can I make jokes about it? Would you mind? Would it bother you terribly? I mean, it's just for a laugh. Come on. It's not funny. And it was last year, I think, I said, Tom. I said, what? My preacher. I said, why don't you come to our church on Wednesday night or something like that? We have I forgot the name already. It wasn't important to me anyway. A Christian comedian. I said, a Christian what? He said, a Christian comedian. I said, what's that? He says, the guy's really good. He lets people relax. He tells jokes. I said, Joe, I don't see nothing funny about it. Oh, come on. There's a preacher telling me this. I said, there's no Christian comedian. I said, the death on the cross is not funny. Anything connected with it, anything connected with a joke is not funny. People come to church to because they're convicted. They're not coming there to laugh and laugh it off. They're coming there to express their soul, to be forgiven. Now, laughter is going to make them forget about it, but they've not asked for forgiveness for it. God still remembers it. I can watch a movie on TV and get over it. I can do a good deed and get over it, but I haven't repented for it. All I've done is forgotten about it. God hadn't. You see? And here's one that I find very interesting. Second Peter 2, verse 10. And this, I think, closely ties in to Romans 13. That God sets up the government. Benevolent or malevolent. It don't matter. And it's not man's business to replace the government with another malevolent government. That was tough to say. That's what they're doing. Rick Joyner calling for revolution. Say what? Chuck Baldwin? That Jesus was revolutionary? Say what again? 2 Peter 2:10 says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Family, whatever government we got, God put it there or allowed it to continue. 2 Chronicles 7:14, look it up. That tells you what you got to do. Revolution don't get it. Calling Obama like Manning does, a long-legged Mac Daddy. What in the world are you talking about? Where does God come in on this? He doesn't. Where does the prayer come in on this? It doesn't. But preaching about revolution has been done all along, never, never works. And the ones at the high level, Illuminatis and governments, secret societies, they know that already, though. Because that's what they want, is a revolution to justify martial law. You see, and the folks doing it don't realize it. It's playing in their hands. Well, God tells us already. But these preachers out there are using their position. And FEMA has trained over 25,000 plus, to convince those that trust these theologians to take the mark of the beast. But you see, Jesus covered it. What do we do with the taxes? Render to Caesar, which is Caesar's. Whose picture's on the coins? Give it to him. But render to God that which is God's. So do we do everything they say? No, you don't. When they tell you to sin, you do things that's against God, about laws, and it goes against God, I refuse to do it. He tells us then to refuse. Render to God that which is God, and unto Caesar which is Caesar's. Second Peter 2:10. I'm not just going to leave you there. Well, goodness gracious, look at there. God does deliver things, don't he? You see, God's ability to keep the wicked men under restraints until the final trial is especially true of the class of people described in the chapter of Peter, 2 Peter. False teachers. And this was a scripture I've been looking for all along. I just now found it. False teachers. The lives are contaminated by sexual uncleanness, is what it's talking about. They advocate rebellion against government authority. They advocate rebellion against governmental authority. Yep, said that twice. They boldly hurl insults at high officials. God established government so you wouldn't have anarchy. Y'all start getting the picture now? How Satan works in the pulpit? It's no secret that false religious leaders, posing as ministers of Christ, are often characterized by low moral standards, like belonging to the Knights of Malta. They not only indulge in illicit sexual activities themselves, but they openly advocate libertarianism, being liberal, liberalism. That was awkward. The Episcopal chaplain of a girls' school in Baltimore, Maryland, wrote, and I quote, "We all ought to relax and stop feeling guilty about our sexual activities, thoughts, and desires." And I mean this whether those thoughts are heterosexual, homosexual, or autosexual. Sex is fun, and this means that there is no laws attached which you ought to do or not to do. There are no rules of the game, so to speak. Unquote, this Episcopal chaplain of the girls' school. Well, that answers a lot of questions with these female teachers now having sexual relations just one after the other, as it's being reported. Are they not? They're doing it on purpose. I don't know if they're telling them to or they're hypnotizing. I don't know how this is working. They're doing it, but how they're doing it, and losing their job, getting in jail, putting in jail, what, all this stuff. How's this happening? What I find interesting is how the Illuminati and how these government people fulfill and carry out exactly what the Bible is telling you. For example, Joyce and Elders Surgeon General under Clinton, quote, "Give me the choice of trying to educate a 3-year-old about sex or trying to educate an 18-year-old, I'll take the 3-year-old every time." Who? What? And then Ruth Bader Ginsburg sent a report to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights in 1977. And with the previous court opinions, she stated that the federal government should lower the age of sexual consent to 12 years old and legalize prostitution? Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And Roberta Auchtenberg, Assistant Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, she said, and I quote, talking about the Clinton administration, that part of the problem rests with the groups like the Boy Scouts of America. She is a self-proclaimed lesbian in the Clinton administration. And she said, and I quote, Roberta Auchtenberg, "Do we want children learning the values of an organization that provides character building exclusively for straight, God-fearing male children?" Unquote. Ooh la la. So, and Jocelyn Elders also said, and I quote, "We need to speak out to tell people that sex is good, sex is wonderful. It is normal part of our being, whether it's homosexual or heterosexual," unquote. Oh boy. I tell you. So you don't think God's not going to judge this country? You say, well, how come we don't replace them? Okay, who are you going to replace them with? Who's going to give the authority to do it? See, people aren't thinking who's really involved, who's controlling it. Satan's controlling it all the way down through the Council of Foreign Relations. You see how this works? That's why you go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's not just a scripture that sounds good when you say it in Bible study. It is what works. People will have to learn the hard way, seems like. And lastly, in 1984, the winter of 1984, there was an article came out in This World, a globalist publication, praised the UN Convention in the winter of 84, or the International Rights of the Child. The article was "What's Wrong with Children's Rights?" And it said, I quote, "The traditional family structure imposes upon children attitudes of restraint, deference, obedience, and shame. It breaks their will, represses their sexuality, turning them into artificial, authoritarian, sex-negating, compulsive, competitive, and manipulative human beings," unquote. Ouch. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the answer. People aren't doing it. You know, it's significant that liberal religious leaders they're commonly in the forefront of movements, aren't they, that advocate the violent overthrow of the government. Modernistic ministers have been associated with subversive political causes. You know, a director of a church and community affairs for the Presbyterian of Philadelphia said, and I quote, "I don't think we preclude this, the use of bombs and grenades by the church, in the future, if all nonviolent means prove ineffectual," unquote. So, these men are bold and willful. They have a brazen repudiation, bad reputation. And this is all the duly constituted authority seems to have no limits to what they can do. National Council of Churches, World Council of Churches, UNESCO Education, 501c3, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Freemasonry. Man, he's got all the bases covered. You see, no language is too extreme for them to use in their reveling their rulers. And the fact is that human governments are ordained by God. Romans 13:1. Human governments are ordained by God. He put them in, he'll take them out. It's forbidden to speak evil of them. Acts 23:5. Boy, is that not going on or what? Exactly what's going on. God says, no, I'll do it, but you got to come to me. We've never won our freedom ever. And I'm not going to get on that grandstand right now, but it's never, ever worked in the history of man. Never. Won't they get the idea? No, because they're orchestrating it. Acts 23:5 says, and then Paul, then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Doesn't influence such men in the least. They seem to delight in shocking people by their belligerent enunciation of dignitaries. Greek for glorious and glorious ones. It's a general term that could include all those, whether angels or men, or who've been vested with governmental authority by God. Human rulers. This goes against everything that's going on today, is it not? I mean, big time. All the churches, leaders, are going against other people, other than government. I mean, one of them, Rick Joyner, prays that God's going to go against his own word and conduct an overthrow of the U.S. government. I've heard that 10,000 times already. I'm not going to play it now. The audacity of these kind of professed ministers or of religion is without parallel even in the angelic realm. You see, although angels, as it says, are greater than men in power and might, they do not pronounce a reveling type accusation against the glorious ones before God, for the Lord. The reference to the glorious ones applies to angels who are in positions of authority. And you know that these apostate religious leaders, they resemble irrational animals sometimes. Instead of using the powers of reasoning, which distinguish them from animals, they live as a gratification of their bodily appetites, or is the very essence of existence. But as many animals seem to have no higher destiny than to be killed and butchered, so the false teachers lunge forward to destruction, heedless of what is their true calling, and no fear of the Lord, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And so they speak evil of the things they do, not understanding. And their ignorance is never more glaring, isn't it, than when they criticize the Bible, and they do that frequently. You say the King James Bible. Well, yes, a good Bible. I like it. Yeah. But it's always my favorite one. But you really got to be able to read the Greek and Hebrew if you really want the truth. Say, what did you, what? Or you got to read the originals. There's no originals. They don't have them. I really like the King James, but sometimes I got to use some other Bibles. I got, how many you take with you Bible study? Five? When the King James has everything. Oh, there's a few mistakes in. Okay, stop. Which ones? Where exactly? What reference? What scripture? What chapter? What verse? I want to know. Don't say another word. Which one? Exactly. They can never tell you. And if they really dig deep, they come up with Acts 12:4 about Easter. They come up with rabbits eat cud or something. I don't know what. They come up with like 101 stupid contradictions that you can destroy every time. Then if they'll get through to you, they get mad at you. Block you, excommunicate you, or just walk out. They pose as experts in the spiritual realm, but a humble believer can see more on his knees than they can see in their tiptoes. They'll be destroyed in the same destruction as animals. Since they choose to live like animals, they will die like them, and their death will not mean extinction, but they will die ingloriously and without hope, and will live eternally in hell. Revelation 22:18-19 confirms. And in death they will suffer for their unrighteousness. 2 Peter 2:13 tells you. It's not me talking. As Phillips paraphrases it, their wickedness has earned them an evil end, and they will be paid in full. Family, don't play with this thing. People fight for their religious leaders, fight for their church, fight for their religion. Why don't they fight for Jesus? What's going on here? They seem to fight for some favorite pastor, or preacher, rabbi, pope, or some movement. Wait a minute. None of that's got nothing to do with anything. Did that sound right? Whatever. It's got to be about Jesus. About the King James Bible. Proven, the only true word of God. Why don't they fight for that like they do everything else? And you see where it's going? And why are you going to have tribulations? They warn us that there will be false teachers in our day, just as they were false teachers in their day. And among those false teachings, the denial of the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Christ, who died on the cross to take away all sin. The wages of sin is death. It's a common theme among these cultists today. And another characteristic of false teachers is the greed that motivates them in everything they do. Paul offers a similar warning in the Ephesian elders, Acts 20, 29 to 31. Says that, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking for perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. There's a time you put out on your own. So he's calling the false teachers himself savage wolves. Not holding anything back. They mercilessly they attempt successfully, unfortunately, to destroy the faith of the sheep. They draw them away from the shepherd. Paul warned the church continuously to be on their guard, such as such deceivers. So when you read these passages, you see that we're to distinguish between true and false teachers. So how do you do that? Well, Paul instructs the Ephesians, we are to no longer be infants tossed back and forth in the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, or by the cunning and craftiness of men in deceitful scheming. Ephesians 4, verse 14. But we are to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We do this by the knowledge of the Son of God. By knowledge you do. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Heard that before? The knowledge of Christ can only be obtained through the Word of God. And it's by that Word we distinguish between the true and the false. Now, when you go to Matthew 7 in this study, Matthew 7, 15 to 20. Well, it tells you. beware false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You've heard this a dozen times, haven't you? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And then very importantly, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So that means they had that power, but it wasn't given to them by God. Satan can do that too. But they fool men with it. Watch out for false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, not a bad tree bears bad fruit. Goes on to talk about it. Plainly stated, it's the teacher's life. Is his life marked by progressive conformity to the likeness of Christ? Is the teacher bearing the fruits of the Spirit? Just as only good trees produce good fruit, so the only true teachers of Christ display the fruit of the Spirit. Which is that? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Where's my Jeopardy thing? Da, 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 da. What is the fruit of the Spirit? You ready for this? I'm going to go slow. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's why you have free will. Is joy. Peace. Having patience. Having kindness. Having goodness. Having faithfulness. Gentleness. And self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. Now, false prophets and teachers display the acts of their sinful nature. That's what you get today in schools. Galatians 5:19-21. By these fruits we recognize true and false teachers. Secondly, does the teaching that's being presented to you conform to the message as proclaimed by the early church and apostles? He changes not. You know, Paul wrote to the church of Galatia, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the ones who called you by grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. So evidently, there's some people that throwing you into a confusion state are really trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we were, or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that's being preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. If you go to Romans 2:5-6. So far, have you seen any humor in God about this? Boy, I haven't. So Romans 2, 5 and 6, we're talking about here, eternal condemnation is what they store it for themselves until the day of God's wrath. Storing it up until the day of God's wrath. But after thy hardness and impediment, heart treasures up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteousness judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Without repentance, God don't forget. God don't forget at all. Repentance, he does. The Apostle John tells us in his first epistle, 1 John 4, 1 to 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, how they mistake that, I'll never know. There's no question about that. Was it 1 John 4? Oh, my. In 1 John 4, verse 3. If you go to the NIV Bible, or the Message, that garbage. If you look, there's a list of 257 verses that concern the titles of Lord Jesus Christ. And the Message, for example, that book is missing Lord in 11 verses, Jesus in 7. Well, that's ugly. That Message. People still use that. People use that thing. The Message. And in addition to that, woo-wee. In the NIV Bible, 1 John 4, verse 3, 4:2 says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Well, 1 John 4, verse 3 in NIV, well, the regular King James Bible says, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye've heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Well, in the NIV, gosh, more than that, about all of them, they've removed the word. It says, and every spirit that confesses not removed Jesus, removed Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. They removed that and removed Christ has come in the flesh. They took that out of the Bibles, except for King James. Was that to make it easier to read? Or confuse? Whoo, boy, I tell you. So, he uses in there that how we're to discern which spirits are of God. He goes on to say that you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak of the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are of God. Whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So it's of very utmost importance that born-again believers are well-grounded in the Scripture. And by doing that, you're able to discern which teachers speak from God and which are false in proclamation. But only then can you reject what's false, hold on to the good. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. That's what you got to do. So, brings us to the point. How do you recognize a false teacher? Jesus warned us that false Christs and false prophets would come and attempt to deceive even God's elect. You'll find that in Matthew 24, between 23 and 27. Also in 2 Peter 3:3 and Jude 17, verse 18. So the best way to guard yourself against this kind of falsehood, false teachers, is to know the truth and stand up for it. Be able to spot a counterfeit study, the real thing. When you're leading a Bible study, and somebody says, John, can you read chapter, or read verse, chapter, blah, 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 verse, whatever? Oh, sure, I can do that. So he reads it. If everybody in there has got different Bibles, oh, there goes the confidence level. They're all saying, you say that? Oh, I'm missing it. I don't have it in my Bible. There's a problem, you see. Sam Gipp talks about this a lot. David Daniels, Scott Johnson, Steve Corper, Michael Hargett, Justin Peters. You know, any believer who correctly handles the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, who makes a careful study of the Bible, you can identify false doctrine. You know, a believer has read the activities of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's in Matthew 3, verse 16 to 17. Then you will immediately question any doctrine that denies the Trinity. Well, I don't say the Trinity in the Bible. That word's not there. I don't say the word rapture is not there. Well, I don't say the word Bible in the Bible, and it's the Bible. Doesn't take away the fact that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all one. They just happen to be named the Trinity. And as far as the rapture is concerned, it doesn't say when the rapture is going to happen. And the final trumpet doesn't mean the seventh trumpet of the tribulation. So you try to discern that, that'd be too late already. He'd be gone. Or you'd be stuck here. So step one is to study the Bible and judge all teaching by what the Scripture says. It's the final authority. And in Matthew 12:33, Jesus said, a tree is known by its fruit. So when you're looking for fruit, there's several tests that you can apply to any teacher to determine the accuracy of their teaching. Number one, what does a teacher say about Jesus Christ, actually? Y'all remember last night when I played the recording of Billy Graham and Osteen, but mainly Billy Graham, that's shocking. You don't have to know the name of Jesus. But as long as you know you need Christ. What are you talking about? Yes, you do have to know the name of Jesus. You have to profess that name. All knees will bow in front of that name. So, that's tricky. Matthew 16, 15 to 16. Jesus asked Peter, he says, who do you say I am? And old Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. For this answer, Peter is called blessed. In John 2, verse 9, You read, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. 2 John 9. Wait a minute here. That's odd. Very odd indeed. I'm always careful in some of my research of making sure that I use the King James Bible, because some of my research and some of my theologians that I use or talk about or do research on sometimes use different Bibles. So, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So in other words, Jesus Christ and his work of redemption is of the utmost importance. And just beware of anyone who denies that Jesus is equal with God. They are equal. They downplay Jesus' sacrificial death, tell jokes about it, or rejects Jesus' humanity. Second John is a little interesting. Second John 1:9. I don't see a Second John 9. That's interesting. Second John 1:9 says, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Yeah, that works. 1 John 2:22. Who's a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. So, what does he teach about Jesus is what you want to know and listen to. Number two, does the teacher preach the gospel? The gospel is defined as the good news concerning Jesus, his death, his burial, resurrection. That's the good news. According to scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, but which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to scriptures. Galatians 1:7. Says, which is not another, but there could be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That seems to be going on quite often. So no one, not even the great preacher, has the right to change the message that God gave us. In Galatians 1:9 says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. I don't see any humor there at all. I was talking about humor, Christian humor, and that sort of thing, and jokes about God. I don't see it there at all. No humor, no jokes. And number three, does the teacher exhibit character qualities that glorify the Lord? So, in other words, speaking of false teachers, Jude 11 says, they have taken the way of Cain. They have pushed for profit into Balaam's era. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. So, in other words, a false teacher can be known by his pride. And you know, Cain's rejection of God's plan is because of pride. Satan fell because of pride. And greed. There you have Balaam's prophesying for money. Rebellion. Korah's promotion of himself over Moses. And you know, Jesus said to beware of such people and that we would know them by their fruits. Matthew 7:15-20. Says, we already read that. So you got preachers out there that build themselves up. I am a prophet of God. I come here to do this, do that. Here's what I'm going to do for you. Come buy my this, that, and the other, and look at me, and so forth and so on. Where's Jesus in all this? You know, that's who we're supposed to be exalting. Some books specifically designed to combat false teaching within the church are Galatians, really hits it hard. 2 Peter, 1 John 2. Or 1 John, 2 John, and Jude. Galatians, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, and Jude. But it's really difficult, though, to spot a false teacher and a false prophet and not get tar and feathered by some of their parishioners, too. But if God wants to expose, he'll put you there. He'll give you the opportunity. Satan masquerades as an angel of light, and it's funny, I kind of mentioned that earlier today in my broadcast, because that's how they're coming to the Illuminati today in the militaries as angels of light, and the evil ones are coming. I explained that earlier today. And that's your Armageddon. And that's what they're preparing for. And you know, his ministers, that's the fallen angels, masquerade as servants of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 11:15. So only by being thoroughly familiar with the fruit that which we're able to recognize a counterfeit. And you know, they've got them almost placated into puppets. Yeah, as puppets, unfortunately. Everyone would have been very angry with a runner that would try to break into a crowd of people, make a shortcut. A lot of people are trying to make shortcuts. False teachers hinder the Christian belief from obeying the truth of the gospel with all their talk about joining the Jewish people and keeping the law. This goes along with the Hebrew Roots movement, Sacred Name movement. Gentiles are apart from it. God gave a new covenant. We were grafted in to the body of Christ. False teachers also replace the call of God with their own deceptive persuasiveness. They're well-trained Jesuits, a lot of them. Sometimes they gain control over a whole church. They cause confusion and discouragement. All you can do is pray for them. They spread false reports about spiritual leaders. But you still got to warn people, but you got to know what you're talking about and have done your research. Family, this seems to be the rule, not the exception nowadays. And they're not teaching spiritual warfare. And this is what's happening every day. Is a spiritual warfare. And let me give some ideas about how they're doing this. And it's congruent throughout a lot of circles. For example, they tell them that if they don't speak in tongues, that they aren't saved. They get people to babble about some more, so they won't have any idea that they're what they're saying, which we don't. So if the demonic entities are in the church, no one will ever know it. That's what that's for. They don't focus on Jesus. They preach a gospel, just get people to lift up a hand or pray a prayer with you. They resist the urge to speak of the only one who can save them, that's Jesus. You don't have to know the name of Jesus, they say. No, yeah, you do. What did John the Baptist say when Jesus came the first time? What's one of the first thoughts you have, maybe, of what John the Baptist would have thought? John the Baptist, as wild as he was in preaching, he definitely wasn't shy. Said he wasn't even able to tie the man's shoe. He wasn't able, that he must diminish himself now that the Savior is in the world. It's like, okay, you got it. I'm out of here. My time has come. What would you normally think he would do? Wait a minute. I'm still, you know, he wanted to keep it up, but he didn't. His time had come. So what they're doing is making sure they're the main attraction. Where they say, oh, what a wonderful preacher he is. What about a wonderful Savior we have? What a wonderful Savior we have. Not preacher. Preacher, he's supposed to be there. But he's soliciting those compliments. They draw all possible attention on how great a speaker they are and person they are. Otherwise, people might see Christ in your preaching and get saved. God forbid that happens. We're just servants. They use psychological techniques to manipulate people in responding to the altar call. They don't let the Holy Spirit, or they may actually get saved. They don't let the lost know they are lost. They disregard subjects like Judgment Day, the millennium, God's holiness, man's sinfulness and justice. And you know, when it continues that, the lost can continue to think, well, we're good enough to get into heaven, but they're not. It's one of the biggest lies there is, has been. It brings up another subject along those same lines. Is being demonized and being possessed are two different things entirely. How dare you say I'm demonized? I go to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. I work, I got a family, blah, 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 blah. How dare you say I can be demonized? Well, they're confusing possession with demonization. Possession is a demonic entity coming inside you because you've got weak at a point of drugs or alcohol or anger or hate or lust or whatever. That opens up a portal on your body. You're not prayed up on it. Pew, there he goes right on in. May live dormant. And then one day keeps coming out every now and then. Here, John, yeah, what, it's not like him. I know. Here it comes. Shh. You see? Can a Christian be possessed by demons? They'd love to. Because they believe that you have an inside to what God's getting ready to do. That's what they're all trying to get in your head. That's the bottom line. That covers generations of events and techniques and technologies. They want inside a Christian's head to find out what God's up to, because they don't have wisdom and discernment. The other part is to change the body of these human beings, that be us, and become an abomination. That means it's against God. God pulls away, they inherit. You see how that works? That's a real complicated thing I've just simplified. If you're a born-again Christian, you are possessed by the Holy Spirit because you allowed him in. And that's where you want to be. But you're demonized by spirits from outside in. It's kind of a technicality, but one that confuses a lot of believers. You know, you can attend church regularly and still be demonized. It means that in your area, in your personality, where you're not in full control or wherever, you may still attend services, but are affected by demons. The demons can still be inside a church, but the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ within you can force a demon out to be sure and to be true. This is even true for sickness. If people only knew, a lot of their sickness comes from demonic possession. All of it? No, not all of it. You know, you may have a lot of members of the church. They're sick with various illnesses. This is nothing but affliction of demonization. People don't realize that. To be delivered from the sickness, you must be delivered from the demon. But when you start talking about that, even though it's in the Bible, they're going to think you're crazy. Tom, you're nuts. I don't want to talk about this. Well, Jesus did. He cast them out. Well, you know, you're a little obsessed. You're a little out there, okay? You believe in the Bible? Yeah. Okay, well, the Bible talks about it. Ooh, they have a hard time with that. It's too exotic. It's too weird. It's too scary. Well, so what? When you start seeing them, it's going to be really scary. You're going to need Jesus there with you. The Holy Spirit inside you. How's it go? How do you do this? Let me make this perfectly clear. That's the worst Nixon I ever did. Anyway, thank you. Thank you very much. You don't hear the subject in modern churches today. You don't hear about the millennium. That'd be the things they'd be preaching about redemption, salvation, repentance. You know, it's not that these preachers don't know about these demons. They do. That's the first subject that Jesus Christ broached. Whenever he speaks of the works within the church, it's about the demonic entities. He tells us to cast out demons. You know, in his ministry, he taught disciples to do this first. So then why don't our churches do it? You take out someone that in the church that's acting out like he has a demon. Why would a church not help you if you think your home is affected with demons to cleanse it out? There's ways of doing. And also cutting off your generational curses that could go back 4 or 5 generations. Now, I got a lot to cover here. I think part 3 tomorrow. We'll do part 3 tomorrow about the deliverance undemonized. And then we'll move into the ways that the preachers keep you from being saved. And to be able to recognize them. Because, family, that's what predominantly is happening today. And they do these things to test the culture. To see if what level of their manipulation that they are. And the megachurches, all this was designed to pull you away from God. People worry about ISIS. People's worried about, what else? Nehru, Fukushima. But they're not keeping their eyes on the popery. They're not keeping their eyes on the Freemasons. They're not keeping their eyes on the Knights of Malta. They're not keeping their eyes on the scriptures. Which is going to tell them what's going on. Instead, they do their 15-minute news and TV and believe it or doubt it. So if you really doubt it, then why watch it? Well, some of the things they say is true. What about the things that are not? Can you discern which one is which? It gets sticky, don't it? Well, family, I'm going to stop there before we go to the next level of exposing these rascals. Now, I tell you what, those that's loyal to these guys, they just get plain mad at you. Plain mad at you when you start talking about that. How come they don't get mad when you talk about Jesus wrongly? But they don't. I want to remind you all, we have radio broadcasting going on. I want to check and see how he's doing, John Kirkler, up at highportradio.net. H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, John Kirkler, highportradio.net. He plays our broadcast and Bible studies randomly in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. We appreciate that. My website is watchmenforjesus.com. My Facebook is Watchmen for Jesus. And I use it mainly for the archives. I have some studies there that I put up. And I will tell you, quite frankly, it's moving up to like 3,000 plus now. And the Facebook is over 3,000. So something's going on. Steadily moving up. And then it gets in the five figures for this like thing or checking our Facebook. It's getting quite interesting. But anyway, something's going on around this world for all of us. So we'll see you tomorrow night, 7:30 to 9. It's already Wednesday, isn't it? It's been a fast week, fast night, fast day. Means I got to make some more cornbread and beans. I make good beans, by the way. No, I'm not going to do a recipe channel either. Family, this closing prayer, and then I'm going to go more into tomorrow night on exposing the false teaching and expose it for what it is. And at Romans 13, that thing stands, except when the government causes you to sin against God, you refuse. If they're under a blood oath, they have to go against God, because they're under oath to God to go against God. Whoa! They're swearing by God a blood oath to tell a lie. And so if they want to do something that's against God, like lie to somebody or pull a record that's going to hurt somebody, whatever goes against the commandments of God, they're under a lie. They're under an oath in the name of God to go against God. Whew, wow. You know, that's tough. It's got to wear on them when they do that, and their conviction is going to hammer them. This is the rule, not the exception. No wonder their families are going to pot and the children doing this, that, and the other. Let's close tonight, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock broadcast. It's crossed my mind to move it to 5 o'clock. I don't know. I get a heavy crew coming in at 5 o'clock instead of 4 to 6, 5 to 7. I don't know. That would push the Bible study back to 8 to 9 or 9:30. I'm playing with some other times. Just leave it like it is. We'll see. Okay. Lord, thank you tonight. We're able to come together for this Bible study. We thank you, Father, for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, we pray upon you. We pray to you, Father, to cover us with the blood of Jesus. Give us the words to speak. Give us the opportunities to speak the true word of God. Give us protection, Father, to see what's coming. And Father, but give us courage to fulfill your will. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. People, get ready. That time's coming. Nobody knows when. It don't matter when. Just when it happens. That's when you're going to go to work. This is practice. So people, get ready and do it on your own. When God gives you opportunity, preach up a storm. Have a good night. God bless. This is your watchman. I'm signing off for tonight.